You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 1, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me each Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for effectual, fervent prayer for our beloved President Trump and for our great United States of America. We're in a crisis and we need to pray. If you can't get here, pray where you are. Let's take back our country for Jesus. Also, you might like to come on Sunday for the radio broadcast at 5 p.m. Then we'll also pray for everybody and for America. I am in Suntree, Florida. I am right beside the produce place, which is on Wickham Road. You'll see the produce place sign, but you'll also see Sherry Medlock with an arrow pointing just a few yards behind the produce place, which is 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Sunday, 5 p.m. And now Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. I am entitling this, Babylon, Be Gone. Let's all say it.
Babylon, be gone.
Shout it out.
Babylon, be gone.
Now, you might want to say, what in the world am I telling to be gone? Babylon means confusion. And we know that God is now the author of confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. And Jesus says in John 8:44, the devil is a liar. So Babylon is confusion and devil is a liar. So Babel is confusion and Babel is a liar. So therefore, Babylon, be gone. Now, Jesus has taught us that there are seven trumps, which is a metaphor for seven events. On the seventh trump, the Lord Jesus will return. And we've learned that five of them have already sounded and that you're hearing the fifth one right now because it's still blowing and it's a time of learning. But we learned last time that at the sixth trump, the Antichrist will appear. Now, he's not against Christ. He's going to pretend to be Christ. He's going to have two horns of a lamb. He's going to act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, peace and safety. He'll heal you. He'll cure you. He'll give you money. I mean, it's going to be so wonderful, peace and safety, a great revival in the seed part of Christian church. But he comes at the sixth trump. And we found that his time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13. And Revelation 9, we found it was shortened to 5 months. But just as in Daniel, it was originally 7 months, and that was divided in half, 3.5 years, 3.5 years. So the 5 months are divided in 2.5 months and 2.5 months. So last time we studied Revelation 13, and we learned that those first 2.5 months, the whole world will worship the image of the beast. I'm sorry to tell you that's going on right now, and we'll talk about this as we go along. Now, we're going to come to Revelation 14. Most of it's going to take just place just as soon as the devil, the second beast of Revelation 13, goes to Jerusalem, sits and calls himself Jesus, calling himself God, standing where he ought not. And then Jesus is coming, but most of it's between the sixth trump and the seventh trump. So let's begin. Babylon, be gone.
Verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion.
The lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us, Lamb of God, holding the, taking away the sins of the world. Mount Zion is right there in Jerusalem. So when this happens, that seventh trump will have blown. In other words, the Antichrist will be Right there standing is Antichrist. It'll be the devil with his Jesus costume on. The Antichrist is a devil, but he's got his Jesus costume on. Even half the Christian church will think he's Jesus, because if he didn't know the Bible, you would. He's going to heal you. I mean, he's got the cure. Did you know that? He'll pay you money, and he'll give you all kind of sweet stuff, peace on earth. I mean, if you didn't know the Bible, you'd just worship. He's going to be everything that you think Jesus is, except he's a devil with his Jesus costume on. And when that seventh trump lands, Jesus will stand his feet there. But guess who's standing there? Standing where he ought not, calling himself God. Thessalonians talks about that. The devil.
And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
All right. What this means is, these are people who are alive right now on planet Earth. Perhaps you're some of them. We've already learned that God has 7,000 very elect alive right now, very small number, who are teaching the entire truth and teaching you this truth, that 6 is the Antichrist, 7 is the devil, because it's in the Bible, 7 is Jesus, it's in the Bible. But it says that for the 7,000 who are teaching this right now, there are 144,000. It's not a literal number. It means the whole of God's people who are not going to be deceived, all 12 tribes. So when Jesus comes, there will be the whole of God's people, not every Christian. Matthew 25 says half the body of Christ is going to worship the devil thinking he's Jesus. But the ones who are not deceived, they will be with him, meaning they'll be standing with him and waiting for him to come. They will not be in that group worshiping the devil, calling himself God. And why does it say his mark in their forehead? Your brain is in your forehead. The 144,000, I pray that be you, will not be deceived. You will not believe that that fake one is the Lord.
Amen. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven as of the voice of many waters.
Now we're going to learn in Revelation chapter 17 that the waters are the people. Now, we see as he comes on earth, right there in Jerusalem, there's the devil calling himself Jesus, all his fallen angels, all of his entourage, and people lined up around Jerusalem, even Christians today thinking he's Jesus. But we look up in heaven now, and there are a lot of voices up there. Here's why. Later on, at the end of the millennium, God the Father, who is now in heaven, is going to bring the heaven of Jerusalem down here, and earth's going to be the eternal heaven on earth. But when Jesus comes, God the Father is staying in heaven, and he's keeping some of the saints with him. Some are coming with Jesus, some of them. So we hear many, many souls, some of our loved ones, in heaven with God while the Son comes down in here, down to earth. And many of us are praising Jesus because he's here at last.
As of a great thunder.
Thunder is the voice of God. So then, in other words, those voices sound like God's voice.
And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps.
In the Bible, the musical instrument harp is always a symbol of worship. So as the Lamb comes at the seventh trump, the Lord Jesus, after the Antichrist is standing there, there are going to be people in heaven worshiping and praising God, rejoicing, because at last, Jesus is coming back and is going to put an end to all of this babble.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Verse 3. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne.
Why is it a new song? Because most of the world is singing a sad song. Turn on your news. Is that not a sad song?
Yes.
What's a new song? Thank God, Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
He's going to remove the Antichrist, and he's going to wipe out all of this babble, all this confusion, all this lie. That's a new song. It's a happy song. When I get to Revelation 15, I'm going to teach you that. It's called the Overcomer Song. It's actually found in Deuteronomy 32. It says, their spot's not our spot. Their vine's not our vine.
Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins.
All right. Now, this is an expression, defiled with women. You know, we learn in Matthew 25, Jesus gives us a parable of the 10 virgins, meaning the whole of the body of Christ. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish, half and half. Half of the body of Christ are going to marry the Antichrist thinking he's Jesus. Remember, we're supposed to wait for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So if you marry the Antichrist, even though he looks like Jesus, acts like him, talks like him, looks like him, does walks like him, kind of like quack like a duck, you know. In other words, if you do, you've committed fornication, spiritual fornication. All right, understand that?
Yes.
So now the ones who are going to sing the Overcomer song, and only one your only people can sing it, somehow God's going to give you that ability, would be those alive on planet Earth who will not worship the Antichrist. But remember, half the body of Christ is going to worship the Antichrist. Matthew 25 says so. Five are foolish. No oil, no truth.
These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth.
Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. No other voice will they hear. I'm going to tell you something. You can tell me all day long you love Jesus. And you can tell me what a great Christian you are. But if you're the real thing, you know perfectly well that still small voice. And no other voice will you hear. A real elect knows just as much as you know, as they say, the back of your hand. You know whether it's Jesus talking to you, the Holy Spirit, or whether it's the devil. So if you've got a problem with that, check your redemption.
Amen.
These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb.
Okay, the very elect alive right now are called the first fruits of God. Now, they are chosen, were chosen from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Foundation is a Greek word, katabol, which means Satan's overthrow in the world that then was. 2 Peter 3, 6, the first earth age. We're all with God in our spiritual bodies. One third of God's children, Revelation 12, went after the dragon, that old devil, and betrayed God. But there was a small group there that fought for God with the archangel Michael, and they were chosen then. We have spiritual bodies. And Romans 8, verse 30 says there was a judgment there, and the very elect were found not guilty. Now, they have been sent out, small number, a remnant in every generation to declare the oracles of truth. And here at the last, the very elect. So that's why he mentions them now. Right now, the 7,000 elect on live planet Earth are just harping and preaching and saying, listen, wake up. Six comes before seven. Six is Antichrist. I know he looks like him. I know they're telling you that. Don't be deceived. Get in the Word of God. Seven is Jesus. Wait for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Five. And in their mouth was found no guile.
No lies there, because our Lord is truth. His name is truth. His name is the Word of God, which is truth.
For they are without fault before the throne of God.
Again, Romans 8:30, they were justified, found not guilty. Really, the elect did not have to come through. The only reason everybody had to come through is because they betrayed God. But he chose you. He said, I need you. I need you. I could trust you now. You didn't betray me. And he said, the very elect, the very first ones that God have been fought for, God, I really need you to be at the end. I know you're not going to fold. I know I can trust you. So we said, yes, Lord.
Verse 6, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach.
Hallelujah. Now, in Mark 13, Jesus was foretelling all of this about the seals and all of that, the second coming. And he said that when the very elect, now that's the ones not deceived, that's not the body of Christ, that's not the 144,000. When the elect, when the Antichrist comes, that the elect are going to be delivered up to the Antichrist, the reason is that the brothers and sisters of the deceived Christian church are going to turn us in, thinking that one is Jesus and they want us saved. See, we know better. And they say, oh, she's a nice person, but she thinks you're the devil, Jesus. And of course, he is the devil. So that's how they're going to get turned in. But Luke 12, Jesus says, all right, elect, this is your opportunity. I've arranged this. I want you to be delivered up. Here's why. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed. However, elect, when you're delivered up, you are to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you what he will. And when you let the Holy Spirit speak through you, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole wide world, and then the end shall come. So that angel sounding here is God's timetable. All right, just as the Antichrist is standing there, he's about to deliver up the elect just a little before Jesus comes, the elect to deliver up. Do not be afraid. This is the highest honor. You want to be one of those. What a great, great thing. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
Yeah. Upon them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people.
Everybody's going to hear it. This is how the gospel is going to finally be preached. All of us are doing all we can now to get it out, but it's going to be the elect. What I love about that, you know, secular people on media, They get paid to be on radio and on television. Us Christians, we have to pay for airtime. But when we're delivered up to him, the devil himself is going to have to pay the airtime for us to preach the gospel against him. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I love it. See, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him.
Fear means revere. The elect are saying it now, they'll be saying it then. Wait for Jesus. Love him. Don't love this imitator. I mean, I know he looks like him, acts like him. Don't love him. Wait for your true bridegroom.
For the hour of his judgment is come.
Jesus is coming back. And boy, is he going to judge the world.
And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city.
Okay, here is Babylon. Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is not a city. It's a metaphor. It means confusion. And we know the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So who's the author of confusion? The devil. And Jesus says in John 8:44, the devil is the father of lies. So Babylon is the lying confusion that's going on right now. Right now, that great city Babylon is babbling all over the world. And you know, remember President Ronald Reagan, maybe you've read about him. He called America a city set on a hill. And Jesus calls you a city set on a hill. So right now, the city set on a hill is Babylon, confusion and lies. We learned that this is that first beast in Revelation 13, which I taught you last time. This Babylon that you're hearing, the confusion and the lie, this is the image of the beast. That first beast is a lie. And the image are all of the political system propagating the lie. Propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Lie, lie, lie. Lie on the television. Lie on the computers. Lie in the newspaper. Lie, lie, lie. Propaganda. All of the world right now, except a few of us who know better, are worshiping the image of the beast. And do you realize you're believing the lie? Because you're scared to death and you believe this nonsense. In other words, if you are getting caught up in this and believe it, you're worshiping the image of the beast. How easily you're going to be had when you actually see this gorgeous form bringing down lightning from heaven. You better wake up. Stop worshiping the image of the beast because he's going to fall down. He's coming down. It's so beautiful. We're about to find out how he's coming down.
Because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornications.
In other words, the lie that you're hearing, and sometimes in the pulpit, and the confusion. When there comes now in the sky a beautiful entity, beautiful, gorgeous, I mean, oh man, is he powerful, saying, I have the cure, I'll cure you, I know, I got it. I got safety, and it'll be God. And you're going to worship him. And he's just coming back like that. Don't you think most people are going to worship him? He's coming in the sky. So there he is. When he comes, look out. The world is going to think this is God.
9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image.
Uh-oh. Is anybody worshiping the image of the beast? Are you believing the confusion? Are you believing the lie?
And receive his mark in his forehead.
Your brain. Do you believe it in your mind?
Or in his hand.
Are you doing his work? See, all of the people propagating the lie are serving the beast, the liar, the devil, the political system.
10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation.
Remember when Jesus was in the garden, just before he went to the cross to pay our sin debt, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. He was not trying to get out of dying. He came to die. He defeated death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. But he was talking about that when he comes back as the Lamb and lands on Mount Zion, when he sees the whole world and half the body of Christ worshiping the image of the beast, the devil, He is going to have a cup of wrath in his hand, and he's going to pour it out on all those who worship the image of the beast. And many of you are practicing it really good right now, but it will not touch one hair of your head if you're not deceived.
And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone.
Okay, so he's going to pour out this cup of wrath on all of those worshiping. Now, what does it mean, tormented with fire and brimstone? Now, John, by the direction of Jesus, takes us a little after the second coming to one long day. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, Peter tells us. So when Jesus comes, nobody's flying away. We're all here, Jesus there, and everybody saved and lost alike. 1 Corinthians 15:52, steps out of our flesh body and steps into our spiritual bodies. Then there's one long day with Jesus right here on the earth, and there's a dog, the very elect, some with him, some here now, are going to be teaching. But at the end of that time, there's going to be the great white throne judgment. And all who worship the image of the beast, the devil himself, his fallen angels, and all who are lost are going to walk into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It does not exist now, it will exist then. What does it mean, torment? Okay, when a person starts to walk the plank, and there's the fire, Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire, you will suddenly realize that whatever goes into that great fire is consumed. God is a consuming fire. When something's consumed, does it exist anymore? No. It's consumed. It's blotted out. Those walking in will rush for a moment. The torment will be, oh my God. Oh, nobody will ever remember me again. Nobody will ever love me again. It's as though I'm blotted out. I don't exist. The Bible says God himself is going to blot out the memory of them and blot out the memory from himself because he loves them too. We could not enjoy heaven on earth if we're thinking about Uncle Joe screaming and dying, could we? No. We could not stand that. Neither could God. It means blotted out. You don't exist. And so therefore, they will walk into the lake of fire. So even those who, as the Antichrist comes, worship the devil, if you don't repent really fast before you change your spiritual bodies, you will, even though you're a Christian, walk into the lake of fire. And the torment will mean that you're blotted out. You don't exist.
In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
The Lord Jesus will watch this, and then we'll all be in our spiritual bodies. We are as the angels. All of us will witness this scene.
11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever.
Now, God is a consuming fire. Consume means there's nothing left. It consumed it. There's nothing there. Blotted out. Does not exist. But when you see that kind of a fire, and you look and you say, wow, what was in that fire is not there anymore. But you see smoke trailing, that smoke reminds you that forever and ever and ever, that person does not even exist. Nobody remembers them. Blotted out.
And they have no rest day nor night.
Now there'll be no night in the heaven on earth. This is a figure of speech. What is rest? Rest is Sabbath, and Jesus is our Sabbath. So that means they do not have Jesus forever and ever. And there's only one name given in heaven and earth whereby we might be saved. And without Jesus, there is no Sabbath. They will not rest in Jesus. They are blotted out.
Who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.
We've already studied that. He was a 6 in the first earth age, wanting to be 7. Lucifer said, I will be God. He was a 6 in the garden, wanting to be the first father, but he wanted to be 7. He's coming back pretending to be 7 Jesus, but he's really 6. 666. 6 seal, 6 vial, 6 trump.
12. Here is the patience of the saints.
Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God.
The commandments is the word of God. Keep means to guard them. See, many of you hearing this now, but when the whole world and all the Christians you know are saying Jesus is here, will you fold? Or are you going to stand on the word?
And the faith of Jesus Christ.
Keep your faith in the real Jesus.
Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth.
Okay, what does this mean? It means that right now there are many wonderful Christians. I met many of them. Many of them, because they are not being taught right, think that the first one coming in the sky, or they believe the lifeline proverb, is Jesus, when indeed it's the devil with his Jesus costume on. So he says it would be better if God called them home before that sixth trumpet sounds. Why? Once you worship the devil, no matter how much you love Jesus, and he told you in his word, Jesus said, I foretold you all things. He told you in Mark 13, you're hearing it now. I told you, why didn't you believe me? If they worship him then, they would lose their mortal soul. We all know many wonderful people like that. We love them. So it'd be best if God calls them home. See, if you haven't actually worshiped the devil, you're not guilty, even though you might have been tempted.
Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors.
In other words, if they love Jesus now, even though they would be deceived, if they die before the Antichrist comes, they may be with Jesus, rest Sabbath in him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Is anybody getting this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're alive. That's nice.
And their works do follow them.
Aha. Uh-huh. And so though they're serving, many of them are serving the Lord right now, and so the works are there. Do you know the only thing that you can take to heaven? Well, the works you do after being saved. You're not saved by works. But once you're saved, for every time you win a soul to Jesus, every time you give up yourself and your little fun and your stuff and join and pray with the body of Christ to get our country back to God, every time you help the poor, every time you sacrifice and give and help someone, these works all go on before. You will never find a U-Haulet following a hearse. You can't take it with you, okay? In other words, I don't know about you. Now, you know, I make deposits every now and then in my bank account, but I try to make a deposit in my heavenly bank account every day, because there, the thieves can't break through and the rust won't ruin it. In other words, do you have any deposits in the heavenly bank account? The only thing that's in heaven right now that'll be waiting on you are your works. Of course, if you're saved. If you're not saved, you won't go to heaven.
14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man.
This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Da-da-da, seven trump, da-dum-da-dum, here it comes,
Amen.
Seven trump.
Amen.
This is Jesus. Amen. Remember that the angels told the disciples in the book of Acts, ye men of Galilee, why gaze ye upward? This same Jesus will come again as he went. Now, I know it says clouds. In the manuscript, it'll say clouds. It's a figure of speech. It means crowds. In it said Jesus is bringing a lot of people back with him, but it also means a chariot of fire. So here comes Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Having on his head a golden crown.
He's not coming back this time to be crucified. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. Amen.
And in his hand, a sharp sickle.
Oh, my goodness. He's got a sharp sickle. What do you do with that? A sharp sickle is what you use to harvest grain. Only grain, like wheat. Now remember in Matthew 13, Jesus told us the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat are the true children of the kingdom, the saved, but the tares are the children of the devil. So he's going to harvest his children. Now he's not going anywhere. They're just going to gather around him right here on earth, because he's going to stay here and teach, and the doctor's going to stay here and teach. But he's coming back to gather us around him right there in Jerusalem, the wheat. Now you always remember that you use a sickle to harvest wheat.
15, and another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap.
Jesus says there's a time for the harvest. In other words, he says the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Did you ever win any souls? Is that important to you? It's the most important thing you should ever do. You need to learn how to pray in the Spirit. You need to get the Word of God. When you get the Word of God and pray in the Holy Spirit, you will win souls. So see, there's nothing else counts. You can't take all that stuff you do in your house home with you. It's only what you do for God. And so he said, okay, it's harvest time. Thank God, it's harvest time. Come, Lord Jesus.
For the harvest of the earth is ripe. 16, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. 17, and another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Verse 18.
Now, we know the Bible says the holy angels are going to also help Jesus to reap. They're going to separate the wheat, God's children, from the devil's children. Right now, we're together, and people can't tell the difference, even in church, but he knows, so he's going to separate us. Not taking one out here, right on earth.
And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire.
Okay, now this angel has got fire. God is the consuming fire. And is going to put God the consuming fire into a wide mouth bowl. We'll talk about it later in Revelation, which Jesus has. This is the cup of wrath. And he's going to, this fire, this is why it says that when Jesus pours out that cup of wrath, the elements will burn with fervent heat. It doesn't mean the world's going to burn up. The elements means rulers or false teaching. In other words, all of the lies, all the propaganda, the image of the beast, and all the world worshiping of the devil standing there except the elect, all of that fire of God is going to dissipate the lie.
And cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine.
Wait a minute. Clusters? That would be grapes. You don't use a sickle to harvest grapes, only wheat. Oh, grapes of wrath. Remember I taught you the good fig and the bad fig, the good grape, the bad grape, sour grapes, okay? Yeah. The grapes of wrath. Now, if you used a sickle to harvest grapes which grow on a vine, you would burst them. They would lose all of their juice. Now, what kind of vine is this? The Overcomer song, Revelation 15, I'll teach you that, Deuteronomy 32, says, their vines, not our vine. Now we know that our vine, John 15, is the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, I am the vine and you're the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But you don't use a thistle to the grapes. So who are the grapes? They are the children of the devil. These are the grapes of wrath. In other words, they're about to be splattered. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And the vine is the devil. Remember, he fathered Cain there in the garden. Of course you know that, because I taught you. The Bible taught you.
The earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.
Sour grapes.
Night.
In other words, they're so full of sin, they actually smelleth badly.
Teen. And the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God.
Now, this is that cup of wrath. This is not for the elect. You'll be standing right under it. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed. These are only those the whole world will be worshiping the Antichrist, the image of the beast, as they're doing right now, except a few of us. And they'll be doing it then. But don't worry about it. This is the greatest moment. This is the best time to live. All the prophets wanted to do that. Okay. In other words, this is when they meet their Waterloo judgment.
Verse 20, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle.
Now, at that moment, as Jesus lands his feet there, 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, everybody on planet Earth alive, saved and lost alike, will step out of your flesh bodies and into your spirit bodies, because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. So as we enter, Jesus is coming, that's the kingdom, so we won't have blood. We have a beautiful spiritual body. We don't need the blood anymore. Thank God we got the blood of Jesus, okay? So that's that blood. Why is it up to the horse's bridle? What horse? Revelation 19 says Jesus is coming on a white horse. It's a symbol of power. It's that chariot of fire. So there's going to be so much blood by all the people in Jerusalem and all around worshiping the devil that, boy, there's enough blood there. Lord have mercy. But it's lost blood, bad blood.
Yeah.
By the space of 1,600 furlongs.
That would be about 180 miles, almost 200 miles. So Jesus is coming. Flesh and blood cannot end the kingdom of God. And so everybody does the body change. And so the kingdom on earth begins. And we'll begin right there next time, because we're going to find out what's going to happen to that old Antichrist calling himself Jesus. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Thank you. Normally at this time, I give you a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. But I just gave you 500 mysteries, so I think you've got enough. So let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a beautiful word tonight. So much revelation.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
It was.
Scott, David left his stuff in a cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10.
That is so beautiful. What a perfect word. Fear not.
Amen.
Fear not.
Fear not.
In other words, be gone, Babylon. Be gone. All of that lies and everything is going down. Praise the Lord. I'm about to pray for all of you who are sick. So if you've got loved ones out there in cyberspace, get them around the internet, a computer, radio, wherever you are. Jesus still heals. But let me pray for anyone who's lost. The spirit of the bride say, come. We want you to live with us on heaven, on earth, forever and ever. Please pray this prayer with me, and God will forgive your sins and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I confess I have sinned.
I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask that the blood of Jesus will wash away all my sins. Please forgive them all. Known and unknown. Omission or commission. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Sanctify me. Set me apart.
Use me.
Grow me in your word. Let me do many good works for you, Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now, for those of you who prayed that, my announcer in a few minutes is going to give you my telephone number, so I invite you to call and leave that message on my answer machine. The Bible says confession is made to salvation. You need to confess someone that you accepted Jesus. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus Christ, we put you in remembrance of your word as you told us to do in Isaiah 43:26. Malachi 4, you said unto those that fear your name, revere your name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. O Son of Righteousness, let the laser beams, wings of Jesus' healing virtue go into the cells. Let the fever be gone in Jesus' name. Viruses be gone. Flu be gone. Colds be gone. Coronavirus be gone. Go to the abyss in Jesus' mighty name. Stomach aches be gone. Digestive juices be in perfect order. Body, soul, intestines, kidneys, bladders, be healed. Hearts, lungs, be healed. Left lung, right lung, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Kidneys, right kidney, left kidney, be healed. Ribs in Jesus' name. The legs, the bones, the joints, the marrow, from the top of your head, the soles of your feet. Oh, Lord God, let the Holy Spirit flow through you, flow through you, flow through you now. Healing virtue. He said his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed.
Yes,
pick
Lord.
Up your bed and walk and declare, with Jesus' stripes I am healed. Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Yes,
thank we thank you, Father. We give you praise. Some of you were healed. I felt it coming back on me. Thank you, Lord. And so you want to call and tell me that also. You are welcome to do that. Nothing is given to us to keep. These are jewels. If you paid me $3 trillion for what you just heard, that would not be enough money. I have just given you the wealth of God, so how selfish to keep it. Go and tell. Don't be selfish. You're in this world not to just be blessed all the time, but to be a blessing. Let's get together and get this body of Christ straightened out and take our country back and be ready for our real Lord Jesus to come. Go and tell. Now, I can't wait until next time. This is Sherry Medlock, your host, so I can bless you again, so I'll bless you now. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, and I am looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet very best of contemporary Truth. Christian music, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Turn to the Lord, the one who's broken, the one who's torn me apart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all in love, and that I might know you in your suffering. Though you
sigh, a hint, a whisper, throw me a line, 'cause I am listening. Come break the quiet, breathe your awakening, bring me the light, 'cause I am fading. Surround me with a rush of angels' wings. Shine your light so laid love quiet in the night, a stirring all around, rush of angels shine.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in this life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything He has said, He will do. And every His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. Know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful and true.
Thank you. exalted. He is exalted on high. He is exalted. For great is the exalted, he is exalted. Blessing and honor, glory and power unto the Lord be praised. Sing with a chorus resounding before us, holy is his name. His name exalted, he is exalted on high, he is exalted. Exalted, he is exalted. Blessed.